2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That verse 8 there is a verse I'd like to really call your attention to. If these things be in you, talking about these wonderful promises and provisions that are made available to us as far as the work of God in our lives through His Word. If these things are in you and abound, they're flourishing, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. I don't know about you, and this may come as a surprise to you, but I think that what we really need around here at First Pentecostal Church is we need a whole lot more babies. Amen. And some of you are thinking of our family is, our quiver's full of babies. And but what we really need here at this location are a whole lot of new babies. And I'm speaking of spiritual babies, born in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be barren. I don't want to be barren in life, in my Christian experience. I don't want to be barren in ministry. I don't want to be a part of a church that's barren. I want to be a part of something that God is doing to renew and to restore and to bring life. Amen. Amen. Babies change everything. Babies will change everything in our experience with the Lord. New people, new Christians, people coming and being born again, born into the church. That's a Book of Acts church. Amen. They were added to the church daily, such as should be saved. And that was a continuing process that was going on there in that early New Testament church, that God, on a daily basis, there were babies being born into the kingdom of God. Amen. And the church was just filled with spiritual babies. I've heard people say, well, you know, can't get too many. You'll get so many that you can't keep up with them, and you can't disciple them and train them. I don't think we really have a problem like that, do you? I don't know very many. There's not very many of our Pentecostal and holiness churches that have that kind of a problem. Well, we got so many that we can't keep up with them, and we can't teach them. And I think that really the real problem that we need to be concerned about is, are we fruitful or are we barren? Are we experiencing, you know, the life of God and new Christians being born into the kingdom of God? And I need to just take a moment just to think about this. Consider this, because I think that we can go by several services, maybe weeks, months will go by, and we won't see someone born into the kingdom of God. And that's something that ought to disturb us. That's something that ought to be a burden upon our hearts, that we are not seeing people brought into the kingdom of God. You know, barrenness in the scripture was a reproach. For ladies in the scripture who could not bear children or could not give birth to children, and their barrenness, there was this burden of reproach that was upon them, and almost to the point of grief. In some senses, it was really referred to as a curse that was upon them because they were not able to bear children. But fruitfulness is something that ought to be in all of our lives. bearing fruit. And I understand that we bear fruit in many different ways, but I really do believe that one of the most important ways that we bear fruit in our Christian experience is that we help those be born into the kingdom of God. We're used of the Lord to see some brought in to the kingdom and to see them saved. And a lot of blessed things will happen. But let me just mention a couple of things that is really necessary if we're going to see babies born into the kingdom of God and new Christians born into the local church here. And that is, there's going to have to be a real intense desire. There's going to have to be such a longing to see this happen. There's going to have to be this discontent in us. And we're glad for, the regulars, and we're glad for people that are part of the body and bless us. And I'm very thankful for all of you, and I appreciate the blessing of the Lord upon us and upon our church. But there's just something in my heart and in my spirit of discontent. And that discontent is, I want to see people born again. I want to see babies born into the kingdom of God. I want to see new Christians in the church, and for the church just to have that. And really, I think it all begins with a great desire in our heart to see it happen. Amen. It was Rachel who said to Jacob, "Give me children, or I'm going to die." Now they went on and they did some things they shouldn't have done to try to bring children into this world. But Rachel's attitude was very real. She said, "If I don't have a child, I am going to die." There was this level of desire and intensity in her that she was just not going to be able to keep on living unless she had a child. Now that same level of desire needs to be a part of our church and every Sunday school class and every ministry, every outreach, everything that we're involved in. There ought to be this intensity, this level of desire. Oh God, we want to see children born into the kingdom of God. We want to see them at all ages physically born into the kingdom and become little babes in Christ. Brother Mike Gilpin mentioned the other night, people that we've had saved in the church and those that are no longer with us. And it's interesting that someone who can be in their 60s, they can get saved, and it's obvious that they're just like a spiritual baby. And you nurture them and you try to encourage them and help them along the way. And it really adds such a life and such an encouragement to the body of Christ. There has to be that desire. Remember Hannah, the desire she had to have a child? It was so great that her husband said, "What about me? Am I not enough for you?" It's almost as if that she didn't even have a response to him. She wanted a child so much that she was in great bitterness of soul, it says. Prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Eventually, she vowed a vow. "God, if you'll give me this desired child, this desired son, then I won't ever bring shears to his hair. I commit him to you as a Nazarite, and I'm going to give him back to you." And that's exactly what she did. There was such a desire in her heart. And really, that's really, I believe, where it begins in the church. It begins with people beginning to have such a hunger. I want to see people saved. I want to see people brought in. I want to see people born again in the house of God and in the kingdom of God. And not, the desire is where it starts, but then there has to be the realization that this is going to have to be something supernatural that takes place. This cannot be something that is just normal or a natural thing. There's going to have to be a move of God. There has to be a work of God. And when you read the story of Samson's mother, Manoah's wife, that first the angel Lord appeared unto her and told her that she was going to be with child. She was barren, but that she was going to bear a son. And another time, both these times, the first two times, she's just out in the field. And the angel of the Lord appeared to her the second time and confirmed it. You're going to have a child. And Manoah, he wanted in on it. He wanted to know what God was saying about this. And so he saw this stranger in the field and he pursued after him and talked to him about what was going on. How should we order this child when he comes? How should we discipline him and how should we train him? And what should we commit him to do? And also, Samson being committed to this vow before God. So it was a supernatural act that took place. The angel of the Lord appeared, and that angel, the Bible says that they commune with this angel, and the scripture says it this way, that the angel did marvelous things before their eyes. And then he ascended up in the flames and the smoke of the fire that they had that day as they had offered the sacrifices. And they saw these marvelous things. It was a supernatural thing. Whenever God births people into the kingdom of God, it is not just something that normally would take place when we come together, but there has to be a move of God. There has to be a voice of the Lord. There has to be a work of God take place. If we're going to see people brought into the kingdom of God. Whenever Sarah heard the angelic visitor telling them, you're going to have a child. She's 90 years old. The Bible says she's inside the tent. She's laughing her head off. This is crazy. This is ridiculous. I'm not going to be able to have a child. I'm too old to have a child. And she was beyond her age of naturally being able to bear children. But something supernatural took place there. There was the voice of the Lord. There was the promise of God at such and such time. And that God is going to move on you. And you're going to conceive and you're going to bear a child. It's going to be a miracle. And that's what people getting saved is. It's a miracle. People are brought in from sin and delivered from their sin. And they are made new creatures in Christ Jesus. When their lives are changed, let me tell you, it is a miraculous event. It is a supernatural thing that God does when people are saved. Hallelujah. So there has to be this intense desire to see people born into the kingdom of God. There has to be a dependence on God and believing that God is going to work supernaturally to see this take place. God is going to work and move supernaturally. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you experienced that? Oh, many wonderful times I've seen people get saved and see God begin to work in their life and realize, this is amazing. This is wonderful. And Herman, every time you testify, I'm just kind of in awe of it. Because it's not been all that many years until Herman, you know, his heart was far from God and set against God. But the Lord saved him, turned him around, and done a wonderful work in his life. And he's so transformed, he's so changed. And every time I hear him testify, I mean, I'm so encouraged. Amen. To know that the Lord can take a life and he can turn the life around. And there are so many other people out here. So many other people that they need the Lord. But we need to be a place, a location right here where we have just this desire and this love and hunger to see people born again and to see a supernatural work. Amen. What does it do in the church? Baby changes everything. Amen. Babies change everything. And I think sometimes that's part of the problem, is that people don't really want to see too many people born into the kingdom of God, because if we do, then it's going to change a lot of things. You're going to walk in one service and somebody is going to be sitting in your seat that you've sat in for 20 years. And you're going to say, what in the world's going on here? Who is that person that just got saved and they took my back seat? Amen. Amen. Things change. New Christians, it's, you know, little babies bring a change to your life, do they not? I'm telling you, when our firstborn was born, change took place. We were so young and didn't know a thing about babies. At least I didn't. Marcia knew a lot, I guess. I didn't know. But when Erica was born, she was, of course, our firstborn. She was the first grandbaby on both sides of the family. And you would think she would be spoiled, but actually she's perfect. Or very close, not perfect, but very close. We joke about that all the time, and the other girls too. You know, Erica's perfect. But she, you know, everything changes. And that's what you can expect in the church, in the body of Christ, when you start seeing new people born into the kingdom of God, and there has to be this desire to see it happen. A longing to see children brought into the kingdom of God. We were so excited when Erica came home from the hospital. We were living in St. Louis. That we didn't have a car worthy of bringing her home. We had to borrow the pastor's car. We were in St. Louis working with a pastor up there. And our car was not trustworthy enough to bring the baby home. And so we borrowed the pastor's car. Got to the apartment. Third floor on top of this apartment building is where we lived. Third floor apartment. I ran up the steps and the door was locked and we didn't have the keys. Apparently we had left them with our car that wasn't worthy. And so we didn't have the keys to get in. So Marcia's sitting in the car with the baby waiting for me to somehow get access to the apartment. You've heard this horror story before, I know. Because I had to go up the back staircase. It was one of those steel staircases. And I went up to the third, and the back door was locked also, and there was a window outside of that porch area that I had to get on the outside of that and reach out there, and the window was open, and so I raised the window with my right hand, and then I got out there and I jumped out there and climbed in the window. I was a lot more agile then than I am now. And we've often thought how horrible it would have been if I would have fallen three floors to the concrete below and Marcia waiting with the baby. I was so excited. We were excited. And the household was changed. The lifestyle was changed. Everything was changed. Babies change everything. And that's what you can expect in the house of God. That's what you can expect. If you get a hunger to see people born into the kingdom of God, you can expect change. And it's a change that would be a welcomed change to me. Amen. New Christians, they don't know the proper way to do. They don't know the proper, you know, anything about what's proper in the house of God. New Christians, they don't know. They're little babies. Little babies don't know, and neither do new Christians. They don't know. They don't understand. They haven't learned our language. They don't know all about the ways that we worship. They don't understand what's proper or what isn't proper. So sometimes they get a little unruly. They go in and out way too much. And they do a lot of different things that confirm the fact that they just don't know what they're supposed to do in the house of God. But I believe we can put up with that. Amen. Babies will change some things in the house of God, but it's worth it. It's worth it. The excitement. If you remember in the story in Luke chapter 15, it gives the account of the three lost things. I don't know if you've paid a lot of attention to it, but you can notice in that text in Luke 15 that there was the lost sheep, there was the lost coin, and there was the lost son. And in each one of those examples that are given in that parable, and each time when the lost sheep is found, then the shepherd, he puts that lost sheep up on his shoulder, and the Bible says he does it rejoicing. And he brings the lost sheep home and he calls all of his neighbors and his friends together and they just have a big celebration because the lost one has been saved. You see the same pattern in each one of these. Whenever the lost coin is found, she's lit the lamp and she's swept until she has found that one lost silver coin. And when she finds it, she rejoices. And she calls in all of her neighbors and everyone to rejoice with her because she has found the lost coin. Same thing is true with the lost son, the prodigal. Whenever the prodigal returns, the father looks and sees him afar off and runs to him, kisses him, puts a ring on his finger and a robe on his body and shoes on his feet. And the celebration begins. Amen. The fatted calf is killed and a great time of merriment and celebration takes place. All of those are examples of what happens when the lost are saved. Do you know how far reaching it is, the rejoicing and the glory? The Bible says that there is rejoicing right here in this same text in Luke 15. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Amen. That just means that not only the angels, but the whole population of heaven just erupts with praise and a celebration because one sinner has come into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Just one is saved. Luke 15 and verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons. In each one of these accounts, there is joy, a celebration on earth. There's a celebration in heaven because some, just one lost has been found. Amen. Well, that's describing, you know, a change of atmosphere. A change in the church. The whole atmosphere has changed. Everything has changed. Babies change everything, don't they? Everything is different. Whenever someone is born into the kingdom of God, then everything is different. Everything is changed. And one of the great blessings is there's joy. Amen. There is joy. We brought Erica home Sister Huff, she wanted to, you know, take all of her, you know, the clothes off and look at her every toe and, you know, just laughing and rejoicing. Babies are so much fun. Amen. Same thing when I went to my mom and dad's and they saw the grandbaby. By the way, my dad had he wasn't saved and he had a little thing against God. And he was one of three sons. And then he had three sons. And so whenever Marcia and I were expecting our first child, we said something about, well, maybe it will be a girl. He said, no, it won't. It won't be a girl. God won't let that happen. My dad had a little bitterness toward God over that. But you all know what happened. A little baby girl came in with all those men. And everything was different. Amen. And I noticed even my dad, the way that he acted toward his sons, his boys, he was always good to us. Let me tell you, those girls had him wrapped around finger. It was unbelievable. They could get by with anything. Babies change everything. That's something that I really longing and desiring to see right here at this location, First Pentecostal Church. I'd like to see people bringing someone with you to church that's not saved. I'd like to see people weeping and praying through at the altar and getting truly born again. I'd love to hear the testimonies of them getting saved in the different Sunday school classes. People getting saved and born again. And even people that you win to the Lord outside of the church location and you bring them in and they testify, confirming the fact that they have been born again. And all the church rejoices and all of heaven rejoices and the whole atmosphere of the church changes. Amen. The excitement and the thrill that comes when they're born into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we've had, you know, a few converts along the way. And they've provided for, you know, such encouragement and, you know, changing things around here in our church. But can you imagine what would happen if we had 10 or 15 or 20, 25 or 30 born again? Can you imagine the change that would take place around here? You talk about a thrill. You talk about excitement. You talk about joy
that would be in this location and in our lives and in our services to see people being born into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Now, my desire is to be fruitful. Amen. Not unfruitful. Fruitful. Amen. Not to be barren, but to desire to see God supernaturally work and birth people into the kingdom of God. Glory to God. Oh, what a blessing that would be when we would see people saved. I mean, really, genuinely born again, their lives turned around for the glory of God. I've told you this before. We started out in Oklahoma at the church, and they're just a little small nucleus of people. We wanted to see somebody saved so bad. We were trying. We were having prayer meetings and knocking on doors and doing, you know, weeks went by. Several weeks went by. Wanted to see someone born into the kingdom of God. Finally, one Sunday morning, someone knocked on the door of this lady's mobile home. Just a few words spoken to her about the Lord. The tears began to flow, and the Spirit of the Lord had already prepared her. She was the first convert besides the young man that got saved when I went and knocked on his door and I told you about the other night. She was the first one that we went out reaching for in this evangelistic effort on Sunday morning. She got saved, and that night her husband came and he got saved. And about a little over a year later, at 34 years old, with cancer, he died. But all that year he'd been in the church, and the Lord reached out to them. They were saved. God did a marvelous work in their life. And really, I think that those few little converts at the very beginning is what helped that church to get started. It just gave the life that was necessary to see that work of God move forward. And right now, at this location, and at this time that we're in right now, that's what we need to see. That's what we need to see. Amen. And I would just ask that you would join with me in prayer, seeking the Lord, asking the Lord, Lord, would you begin to bring people into the kingdom of God? And there needs to be such a burden in our heart. I remember reading about Jack Hiles that he preached one Sunday morning, and he was so used to people getting saved every Sunday that one Sunday morning he made the plea and no one got saved. He was so grief-stricken by it, he would not go to lunch. He went right straight to his office in his study, and he laid on the floor all afternoon before Sunday night, begging and pleading God, please, God, don't let this Lord's Day go by without somebody being saved. He prayed all afternoon, and he preached that night, and there was two or three or four people, a few people, that came to the altar, and repented of their sins, and got saved. Let me tell you, it's going to take more than just barely getting to church. It's going to take more no burden and no compassion and no desire and interest in the souls of men. There's going to have to be an interest and a hunger in all of our hearts to see them brought in to the kingdom of God. These things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Amen. I want to be fruitful, and I want the work of God at this location to experience fruit. Amen. Folks, get saved, really saved, and brought into the kingdom of God. It's been a little too long since we've seen people saved. Let's ask the Lord to save the lost this month of December. We usually have visitors come in to the services during the Christmas holidays that don't come at other times. Let's pray that they'll not be able to walk away, not be able to leave this location, but what they respond to the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Let's take a moment right now just to pray. And let's pray for the unsaved. Let's pray for the lost. And sure, pray for those that you're concerned about. But also, let's pray for those that you don't even know their name. But God is already right now at work. He's dealing with them. He's talking to them. And he's arranged the circumstances of their life. And they need the Lord. They need the Lord so desperately. And it may be that in next week or in the coming weeks, as, as we go through this Christmas season, that there will be some of those walk into the house of the Lord who are they're ready. They're just ready to get saved. They're ready to turn their life over to the Lord. They're just sick of sin and sick of all of the things that of this world that lack fulfillment, and they want God. Hallelujah. Let's pray that the Lord would help us to not be barren, but to be fruitful over these next coming weeks. Would you pray with me now? Oh God, oh God, we know, Lord, that it requires a working and a moving of your Spirit, a supernatural work of God. We need to hear your voice. Lord, we need to be led of the Spirit. And Lord, we need to have a desire. We need to desire to see people saved. It needs to be a longing in our heart. Lord, like Rachel had, with such an intensity, like Hannah had, that prayed and was just overcome with sorrow and grief because of her barrenness. Oh, Lord, give us that kind of a desire, Lord, at this church, in this body here, Lord, that we would not be content until we see sons and daughters born into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, do a work. Do a work. Do a work, Lord, in our hearts. Prepare us and use us, Lord. Lord, as a witness. Use us, Lord, as a vessel, Lord, to carry the gospel and to encourage folks. Lord, use us, we pray. And Lord, I just ask for a special blessing and anointing to be upon every service, Lord, in these coming weeks. How we depend upon you. Lord, bless and anoint. And Lord, that you will bring them in. And you will help us, Lord, to bring them in. To go out, Lord, and to see the lost restored. To see them found. To see them brought in to the kingdom of God. Lord, let there be a supernatural work in our minds and our hearts, Lord. Oh, Lord, such a longing and a desire to see the lost saved. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.